News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Erwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on Mobile Mornings. Good to have you along. We are now inside a week, inside 5 days to the election. Amazing. You talk about it, you preview it, you consider it, you think about it, you watch the landscape of it all as it unfolds. You have this, you have that, you have Trump being shot at, you have Trump being maybe shot at again, or at least the attempt of that. You've got a lot of rhetoric. You've got the Democrats turning their whole game plan into just trying to trash Trump. Mm-hmm. And then maybe they went a step too far when they tried to trash, in a way, his supporters.
Well, it's amazing when you think about it. Tuesday is the climax of, almost 4 full years of predictions. What's Trump going to do? He's done. He's not getting back in the political game after all this. He'll be in prison. Maybe Biden will be running again. Oh, there's no chance Biden makes it anywhere through his first term. Just think of the last 4 years and everything we've discussed. And it all leads up to this next week. And, every night with us being here on the final stretch, every night there's something that happens in one of these campaigns that whether it's a big deal or not, someone tries to make it a big deal or tries to minimize what happens.
That's
because
right.
they're worried about how that will affect their campaign here with 5 days to go. And I was thinking about, last week, maybe it was even the week before that, and how this election can still even sneak up on us after all this time. And I'm sitting there in the kitchen on my computer, prepping, and it's 8:30, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. And I turn to my wife and I'm like, man, I don't know. It just seems like I've been just prepping all day and all night and have been doing it for weeks. And I started thinking, well, yeah, it's because we're here. Like, the election is here. And you have these candidates who are holding events late into the night every night. Mm-hmm. You just don't know what's going to happen. So I wrote, last night, paying attention, if you weren't, Biden bit a baby. Trump rode in a garbage truck, and supporters on both sides, some supporters on both sides, have absolutely lost their marbles and probably lost it some time ago. So the Biden biting a baby, exactly 24 hours after he jumps into the fray with the Trump supporters are garbage comment, and we'll play that in full the quote of it here in full context so that we're not taking Biden's words out of context. But you had the garbage comment that came down on Tuesday night. And then last night, they're doing the annual trick-or-treating at the White House. And Biden, who certainly has had his share of inopportune photos or photos taken at inopportune times that have gone viral. And there's a little baby dressed as a turkey. I love the detail. The mother put those yellow kitchen cleaning gloves on the little baby's feet to look like turkey feet.
Yeah,
and
it's
so
cute.
Biden, it's a cute little baby, but he leans down to do the gnaw on the leg move. Like, oh, it's so cute, such a cute baby. But again, this is the president, and they have plenty of pictures of him kind of acting awkward, in situations like that. So Biden bites a baby last night, and capitalizing on the Biden garbage comments from Tuesday night, Trump, after campaigning during the day, he's either in Pennsylvania or North Carolina, goes to Green Bay, Wisconsin, and is met on the tarmac by a big white garbage truck that had been wrapped with the Trump 2024 campaign sign.
And that was kind of their gift to him.
Or just some really savvy moves by his campaign.
Yep.
And he jumps in and then he starts talking to the media. Here's Trump in the garbage truck in Green Bay.
How do you like my garbage truck? This truck is in honor of Kamala and Joe Biden.
It was a much bigger viral moment when he served fries at McDonald's a couple weeks ago. But you talk about capitalizing on a moment. This was Trump's cross to bear, right? At first, you had Tony Hinchcliffe, the comedian, came out and called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. And then Biden kind of just takes that from the Trump campaign and says, now it's my cross to bear. Now it's Kamala's cross to bear because I just called all of your supporters garbage.
It's amazing. And by the way, he did. The timing of it was incredible, too, because it was the moment that right around the same moment that Kamala Harris was going to step on stage in Washington, D.C.
On the Ellipse,
And So at that same moment, think about this. Oh, this is crazy. So she's getting on this stage the moment of her campaign, yeah. Right?
Biggest speech of her campaign.
Biggest speech of her campaign.
Is how they were selling it.
And Biden, for whatever reason, is getting online.
It's a Latino outreach call he was on.
It was like minor league, mm-hmm. minor league kind of a event. Harris is about to do the biggest of all of her events. And at the same time, Biden's doing something way down the line in terms of, you know, five-star interest. Yeah. It's down about one star. And the moments converge. He's one place. She's another. They're not far from each other. Mm-hmm. And he just totally changed. Here's what I'm really amazed by, too, that it's still got
legs.
Legs. And yeah. I thought it had been buried by the alphabet.
Well, you know, Trump wore the reflector vest when he got in the garbage truck, and then he continued to wear it on stage at his Green Bay rally last night. But once again, here's the Biden comments from the other night. And as far as Google searches, if you search Biden in Puerto Rico, it has way more hits than if you just search Hinchcliffe, Puerto Rico, or Puerto Rico garbage.
Mm-hmm.
The Biden one does have a lot more eyes on it online anyway. Here's what he said, and the Democrats and his White House staff kind of trying to turn what he said into something that it wasn't. Here's the Biden comment from the other night.
In Puerto Rico, where I'm in my home state of Delaware, they're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters, his demonization of Latinos is unconscionable, and it's un-American.
So it was actually kind of funny watching the twisting coming from the White House after that. Some were trying to say, and they put this in the transcript, that when he said this line,
the only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
That supporters was possessive there. The only garbage I see floating out there are his supporters. The White House tried to say that was a possessive form of the word supporters, meaning their supporters' garbage.
Yeah.
That was their first, like, oh, he didn't say what you think he said. Then they started saying, actually, he has a stutter. So that was a continuing sentence that you have to listen to what the rest of what he said, which was a completely new thought when he continued.
His demonization of Latinos is unconscionable.
So you had that. Kamala answered for that comment yesterday, but also distanced herself from Biden. Now, excuse the background noise here. She was in front of the airplane on the tarmac. But here's what Kamala, her first comments on the Biden garbage comments.
First of all, he clarified his comments. But let me be clear. I strongly disagree with any criticism of people based on who they vote for. You heard my speech last night and continuously throughout my career. I believe that the work that I do is about representing all the people, whether they support me or not.
So, you see, she said, well, Biden, he explained his comment, and then she distanced himself from that comment. But a lot of politicos think that this was a bad enough move that it's really going to cost her. Here's Frank Lutz, who was on CNN talking about it.
His comments seemingly describing Trump supporters as, quote, garbage. The Harris campaign is trying to downplay the effect of those comments. Of course they are. But I wonder if you think that those comments are going to move voters.
It's going to be huge because this is not some comedian saying something stupid and offensive at a rally where he should have been basically disinvited. This is the president of the United States endorsing his vice president saying something. And I know that there's different interpretations about what he said. It's still inappropriate. You still shouldn't be doing it. And I've watched Trump already seize this. The basket of deplorables was significant, was meaningful in 2016. In 2024, I can promise you that this is going to drive Trump turnout. He's doing it already. I'm sure there's going to be ads on as soon as tonight about this. This may be a turning point for those final 3%, and that's all it is, who still need to be persuaded.
So the well-known GOP pollster there, Frank Luntz, he thinks that the Biden comments are actually a big deal.
Yeah. Tap dancing yesterday, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre. Biden puts her in an occasional bind, doesn't he?
Occasionally, yeah, every week.
She was saying about the comments, just to clarify, you have to clarify, the president of the United States, what he was saying. He was not calling Trump supporters garbage, Jean-Pierre told reporters at the Daily White House press briefing yesterday. He does not view Trump supporters or anybody who supports Trump as garbage, she said. He's the president of all. Mm-hmm. I think one of the best lines I heard, may I play this right now?
Please do, yeah.
This is one of the best responses I heard to all that went on. And I don't think it's really fake outrage about what he said. I think people are kind of upset about it, considering that we're talking about half the nation. We're talking about veterans. Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking about people who are black, white, Hispanic, people who are nurses, people who are first responders. A lot of people have now been called garbage by the president of the United States.
Yeah, and I think more than anything, it shines a light on the false outrage that the Democrats had over the original comments,
exactly.
The Puerto Rico comments.
Exactly.
The Trump team just kind of turning it around and throwing it back at him.
Here we go. Here's Trump.
Joe Biden finally said what he and Kamala really think of our supporters. He called them garbage. And they mean it. Even though, without question, my supporters are far higher quality than Crooked Joe or Lion Kamala. My response to Joe and Kamala is very simple. You can't lead America if you don't love Americans. You just can't.
You can't lead America if you don't love Americans. Mm. I mean, that's an all-timer right there.
It's a good one.
At clutch time. Right here, days before the election.
Yeah.
And that was quite a response.
It was. Speaking of which, where the candidates will be today, Trump will be in Albuquerque to start his day. He'll then head to Henderson, Nevada for an afternoon/evening rally. Vance, looks like, is in North Carolina for the day. Harrison Walls in Phoenix to start the day. And then the vice president will stay on that side of the country in Reno, and then close the day in Vegas. Walls is expected after that Phoenix event to head back to Pennsylvania, an event in Bucks County, which has been in the news, and then he'll be in Erie, Pennsylvania later in the day. And Trump, you know, he was expected to be in attendance at the Penn State-Ohio State game.
Right.
And I think it's in Happy Valley.
It is.
This weekend.
Yeah.
You know, he was at the Bama-Georgia game earlier this year. Well, they've now canceled, so they're not going to the Penn State-Ohio State game there in that crucial battleground. Instead, Trump will be at a campaign event in Virginia, which is very interesting. Pennsylvania would be the one where, you know, it's a necessity that both candidates win that for their race. Mm-hmm. Does Trump feel confident enough in Pennsylvania that he is foregoing this massive opportunity to be on TV?
What do you think the odds are that he's in the race in Virginia, that he could win Virginia?
There's a growing course that says he has a real chance at being tight at the least and possibly winning. And you still look at some of these polls, and they have Kamala ahead 6 to 8 points. There's a couple that have him only 2 points back. So it's interesting. He's going to Virginia rather than Happy Valley for that Penn State-Ohio State game involving two battleground states.
We've got some people on the text line who have occasionally been mad at me, mad at you. I guess they're Democrat supporters, and I've got no problem with that. You know, vote the way you want to vote. But if things don't go right for Democrats on Tuesday, don't blame me. I'm like new at all this. You can blame the New York Times. You can blame the veterans at 60 Minutes. Veteran news people, veteran journalists mm-hmm. who've been doing this all their life. You can blame the report that came out that said everybody in the FBI was in on the Biden misinformation thing.
The laptop.
Yeah, the laptop. You can blame the elites at Ivy League universities that eventually had to crumble and resign from their jobs because of them with their take it or leave it stance on things like gender identification.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're texting me and Dalton, you guys need to be quiet. We're not to blame.
Yeah, I don't mind those texts. I think they're kind of fun.
I just wanted to remark to them.
By the way, supporters on both sides absolutely losing their minds. I have a couple audio clips to play for you here to just show you how wild this has gotten for some folks. Coming up on Mobile Mornings.
You know, the insults on Trump and Trump supporters by Democrats, by the campaign, whoever you want to blame. Trump wins. It was the mismanagement of those words in this time that there's part of the blame. I mean, American people are like, stop calling him a Nazi. He's not a Nazi. So how about we don't do that? How about we don't call him Hitler? And then they turn around, and a lot of them are so saying they're going to be so despondent if Trump wins, when they've done it to themselves. They've divided the country in such a way, it looked like Trump was the original divider. That's not the case anymore.
Yeah, well, they'll tell you up and down that he is the divider, and that everything will change. He'll be out of the political world forever once Kamala is victorious on Tuesday. But, you know, it's still a really close race. As much momentum as it seems the Trump team has, the polls have all these battleground states very, very close. And I was talking about how, and you were there for a moment, about how crazy some folks have gotten over this now that we're, you know, 5 days out from the election. Both sides, there's going to be people incredibly upset after. We had that Mark Halperin clip where he said he thinks if Trump wins, it will be a massive mental health issue for a massive part of the country.
Yeah.
And watching this video, I think this was a local network who went around in one of the battleground states asking, what if Trump wins? This is the view that a lot of people have on the left if Trump wins the election on Tuesday.
I would just be terrified.
I'm going to be very depressed.
If Trump won, I would feel hopeless, devastated. And I don't really understand how it could be that tight.
I think if Trump wins, it could be catastrophic for the country.
It would be, to me, apocalyptic.
Unbelievably, Trump seems to be, has a 50-50 chance of winning.
We are strong as a nation. We are strong as a people. We would get through it.
If Trump won, I would be very, very hardly looking into the possibility of leaving the country.
If Trump wins, I'm moving.
Do you know where?
Australia.
Okay. Do you have an idea of what country?
No. I just know being here with Trump in control would just be too scary.
If Trump wins, it is a sadness. It is a disappointment. I have children. I'm concerned for them. I'm concerned about my own welfare. I'm concerned about my own livelihood in the job that I have. So the emotion that I have, it's tough. It would be tough.
Yeah, so, you know, it's misplaced as some of those emotions seem to be, and some of the ridiculous things that these folks believe, they really believe it.
They definitely believe it.
And there's a lot more where that came from that feel the exact same way, that the country's over if Trump wins next week. But, you know, there's also a lot of Trump supporters who think that this country's headed down such a bad path that if Kamala wins, the country won't be able to take another 4 years of it.
Yeah.
And he's had some, of course, Trump has had some fired up supporters at these events. I wanted to play this one. This has kind of gone viral. There were so many people standing outside of Madison Square Garden the other night for his rally on Sunday. There was an older Chinese lady standing out there, and she was actually interviewed, but it wasn't much of an interview. She kind of just took control of the mic and let it rip. Here's what she's feeling. This was a week, 9 days out from the election.
For America to be strong, to be saved, and then America.
Let me start it from the beginning here.
You heard it right here, folks. 2024, folks.
Chinese. We're Chinese first generation. We love Trump from our bottom of the heart because we know Trump is the only one can save America. Kamala is so stupid. She is so low. IQ equal no Q. No qualification to be the president. You shall stay away from that position. You already lost the position. You lost our trust. You lost our vote. You just need to go home, to stay home. You cannot do anything to save America. You are so stupid. You don't know anything. You cannot even answer any question from the camera, from all the media. How you can be on the stage to fight home for America, to protect American people, to protect all the world. You are not qualified. You just need to go home.
So, and she goes on. That was just third of it.
Exactly. That was something else. Yeah, she never gave the mic back. She grabbed it and she had some things to say.
Temperature high on both sides right now, Dan.
8:30. Dan and Dalton are going to talk with Rob Hulbert from Landyap Mobile on the way on Mobile Mornings. Dalton and FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings, 8:35. Dalton going as the Wizard of Oz tonight.
The Wizard of Oz.
Family in tow.
Maybe a cold one or two in tow. We'll see.
Izzy's going to be, the five-year-old's going to be Dorothy. Your wife's going to be the lion.
Mm-hmm.
And Peyton, little three-year-old, is going to be, we thought, you know, reports coming out of the household yesterday.
We're flying monkey.
Flying monkeys. Yeah. A flying monkey.
That's what I assumed.
This is just like the campaign. Things change quickly.
Yeah.
And it turns out she's going to be a witch riding the broom the wrong way.
Yes, the wrong end of the broom facing forward. So that'll be fun. I'll take some pictures. Everyone can check it out. Texters wanted you to come out and be the scarecrow.
Right.
We still have two openings. We have the scarecrow. We have the Tin Man.
Yep.
So you could have chosen from either of those,
one.
But you'd rather be at your place giving,
right. giving
children
candy.
Terrible, cheap candy.
Bad gum.
Bad gum.
Rob Holbert with Lanyap Mobile. Congratulations, by the way, Rob, for you and everyone at Lanyap. I know you guys got some sort of an honor here recently.
Well, yeah, we just got mentioned by Medill University as a bright spot in journalism. We were profiled by them, which was kind of cool. It's sort of they're looking around across the barren wasteland that is journalism and trying to find a couple of flowers that are blooming out of the cracks in the pavement. So that's us. You know, we've managed to kind of buck trend a little bit because our people here like what we do, I think, and mm-hmm. support us. So that's the big thing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I don't know where we'd be without you. Be honest with you.
Oh, we'd be lost. We'd be lost. We couldn't do that. Yeah.
Well, that's really cool, and also notable that some of those journalists in school there get a look at Lanyap. Maybe yep. they'll be writing for you one day once they wrap things up there at Northwestern. So that's awesome.
Big
week ahead of us here, Rob. Of course, most folks.
What's going on?
I know you may not have heard. Maybe Lanyap can get on it here in the last few days, but there's an election coming up.
Yeah, a Nazi might win, Rob.
And
that's a big story if a Nazi wins.
That would be a huge story. So, but
it would be a big story. Yeah.
But the focus around here on AL2. And I don't think anyone knows really how close this race will be. Just we've seen, I think, three polls over the last few months, and then each poll kind of has its own slant to it, depending on who commissioned it and who actually carried out the poll. What are your thoughts? And you guys have a great write-up on both candidates, the Republican Caroline Dobson and the Democrat Shamari Figures, as they're in the home stretch here for Tuesday.
Well, I will say this. We've met with both of them twice now, and we did a podcast with each of them that will be online either today or tomorrow. Just kind of letting them talk a little more at the end and make their final pitch to those who are undecided. I will say I'm impressed with both of them. I think mm-hmm. they're both, I think they're somewhat similar in a lot of ways. They're both verbally gifted people. They both can talk well. They're both very smart. I think they both are interested in the community, and neither of them seems tremendously dogmatic in terms of just, you know, I'm going up there to scream and holler about you know, super left wing or super right wing things, but more about want to get things done for the district.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I have no clue who's going to win,
yeah.
but I do think we have good choices, and that's a good thing to see. One of the things that when they created this district, I think a lot of folks, I know I thought that and a lot of folks did that, hey, you know, this district being, you know, fairly evenly split between, you know, what Democrat and Republican voters, you know, traditional Democrat and Republican voters, that it may draw some really good candidates. And I think it has. I think you see what the ability to have good competition in a district does, at least it brings out some better people.
Do you think Shamari Figures got in the race, Rob, because it looked like a slam dunk? Or do you think he got in the race or was encouraged to get in the race because the Democrats said, we've got to get our best candidate out there?
I don't think he thinks it's a slam dunk. I don't believe he does. After talking to him twice, I've never gotten that impression at all that he thought it was a slam dunk. That I think he got in the race. I mean, he obviously wants to be in politics. I think he got in the race because he thought it was an opportunity and that they had a chance in that district. The district as reconfigured, obviously it leans African-American. It gives him an opportunity in that district. I think he's a quality candidate, though. I mean, I know that there's some irritation with, oh, well, you know, he's moved into the district and he's lived in D.C. most of his life. But, you know, that's an old story in American politics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He did grow up here. He has got family here. It's not like he's not. He's from Mobile.
Yeah. The lines of attack, those have been interesting to watch how they play out, because really, you know, there's been some mudslinging here, but not a whole lot of different topics that they've been slinging mud at each other for.
Mostly over who's richest.
Right.
Mostly they're accusing the other one of being richer.
Yeah. And I'm not sure.
Which is an interesting thing is that's all of a sudden an insult. You're rich. No, you're richer.
Especially when that's considered for many a positive in Trump, is that he's rich. He's made his own money.
Right.
This one, it's like, oh, you're rich. You can't represent AL2. Yeah.
Right.
And I don't know if either of those attacks have really landed, but I do know that Shamari, the big argument from Dobson's camp is that he's a creature of D.C. He's been up there his entire career.
Right.
Kind of here the last couple of weeks, he's been turning it and saying, well, yeah, I know how D.C. works, so you elect me, I'll be able to move things through in a more efficient manner than someone whose first time is up there. And Dobson, yeah, I don't think that the line that she's a billionaire or multi-billionaire has really been landing for voters in a bad way.
Yeah, you know, it's. I mean, you know, you look at Katie Britt argued basically the same thing when she ran is, hey, I've been in D.C., I know how it works. I learned at the knee of Richard Shelby. So, you know, voters liked that with her. It's one of those things. If you think that it's better for somebody to come in and not really, you know, not be of D.C., not understand D.C., and come in and put their own spin on it, or if you want somebody who does understand how the levers work and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, it's kind of a coin flip on those things. I think when you get in, most people come in and they're going to hire some staffers who have some knowledge. I mean, it's really rare that you're going to see someone come in who has not worked in D.C., who's not worked in an office up there at all, and they're just going to bring people from the home district who have zero knowledge of D.C. 99% of the time, they're going to have somebody
right.
on staff who at least is going to guide them through and say, hey, here's where the men's room is.
Yeah.
That argument is an interesting one. He had Eric Holder, the former U.S. Mm-hmm. Attorney General here the other day, stumping for him. So that was, you know, a little bit of, I guess, star power and you know, Washington power coming down here. Eric Holder's wife is from Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
She's the sister of Vivian Jones Malone, the first black woman to attend University of Alabama.
Wow.
So,
yeah, I did hear that. Okay.
Yeah. You know, one more thing on this. Dan might have another on this race specifically, but you were kind of talking about it earlier. Both of these candidates are so young, it's a kind of new generation of both the Republican politics and Democrat politics. And I wonder how much of a role that youth played in them coming out of these packed primaries. I mean, for figures to dispose of Joe Reed and his son, Stephen Reed, so early, and then to beat Anthony Daniels, a seasoned state politician in the runoff. And then same things for Dobson, who was certainly more of an unknown, but beats, you know, some well-known names around here, Greg Allbritton and then Dick Brubaker in the primary.
Yeah.
They're younger. I wonder if those fresher legs helped them kind of cross this massive district and keep up this energy.
Yeah, I think that's it was very interesting. I mean, I think Shamari came in with, you know, obviously with his mother being a state senator and his family having a political history in Alabama, he had some, you know, he had a leg up in that regard. But mm-hmm. again, he was going against Joe Reed's son. So that's that was one where I looked at it and said, you know, at the outset, you kind of thought that's a tough race for him to run against
right.
Joe Reed's son and, you know, a mayor of Montgomery. So that's tough. But he beat him. And then with her, you know, when she came in the first time and met with us, I thought, you know, she's sharp, she's nice. But I mean, this is, you know, she's got no background in this, and she's running against people who've won elections and who seem better positioned, and she beat them both. So, mm-hmm. you know, she's definitely had a good ground game and been out there and been around and campaigning hard. You know, they're both likable people.
Yeah.
I think they're both likable folks when you sit down and talk to them, and that that they get your ear that way. You know, they can definitely make their points and do so in a way that is, you know, not, you know, it's not combative and it's not over the top. They both, when they sit down and talk, they talk about things that you don't really know. First of all, you know, okay, well, is this a Democrat or Republican right off the bat? They're talking about things that people in our district, at least in our area, need and want, you know, talking about airport and the bridge and that kind of thing. So, you know, what obviously they'll vote with their parties once they get up there. So, you know, that's a big consideration for most people, I think. But I don't think we're going to go severely wrong with either one.
Rob Holper with Lanyap Mobile. Yeah, I think Dobson, basically, Dobson's in this position because of her brain power and her hustle. She's got, every time you hear her answer a question on Sean's show or on Jeff's show, and if it's about the port, she's got it. She's got the information down. If it's about this area, she understands it all, and she understands really every inch of this district. I think she's got a good idea.
Yeah, it's been an interesting race to this point.
I think both of them really just have a good handle on the issues. They do both talk about some very different issues.
Yes.
With figures, he talks a lot about the rural hospital issue, which is pretty fascinating when you start listening to the discussion about how many counties in this district don't even have a hospital.
Amazing.
It's not something that affects us in Mobile County or Baldwin County as much, but when you start to think about that, that's a big deal. And I mean, you know, of course, Dobson talks a lot more about the economics, the economy, and those things that affect everybody.
Yeah. Rob, before we let you go, I do want to talk a little city news. You know, last week you had the transportation secretary in town, Pete Buttigieg, as they get started on laying the tracks for Amtrak. And down there in that area, that's kind of been where all the news has been coming from. You had the plaza that's going to go up, Riverside there eventually.
Yeah.
And then the news you had this week that the cruise terminal, they may be looking at expanding and expanding parking so they can get a second cruise line in here. That's big news, and all that news coming from the same area downtown.
Yeah, the you know, waterfront maybe is seeing some love, you know, and that's there is that opportunity. Nothing is in writing as far as another cruise ship coming in. I think it is one of these, again, sort of a build it and hope they'll come type of thing. But I think they've had enough conversations where they feel fairly confident that if they have the capacity, that it's going to attract a second cruise ship. This is something they've been talking about for a long time. I mean, the mayor had mentioned to me a couple, 3 years ago, you know, that there's discussions about some other cruise lines coming in, which I think that's good for us. I think if we could do that, it would be great. It's great to have an event that brings people in, but it would be nice if we could get something in that, you know, doesn't go away half the year.
Right.
That would be good. You know, I think that'd be helpful.
Rob, people want to pick up Lanyap. They've got a number of ways to do it. If they want to go ahead and get it digitally, they can do that too.
Yeah, you can, of course, go to our purple boxes all over the community and pick up the print version. Today is the last day of the October surprise half price digital sale. So if you know, it's an annual print subscription for just $35. That's 67 cents a week. So you know, we can't make it any lower than that without paying you to read it. You know, so it's I mean that's as cheap as it gets. So I mean it's going away tonight. Midnight. So if you've been thinking about it and want to do it, this is a great time to do it.
All right, Rob, thanks a bunch. We appreciate it. And next Thursday we'll be ready to talk to you again with next Thursday. It'll be after the election. Wow.
We may even know who the president is.
Yeah, might be a Nazi. All right, thanks Rob.
Happy Halloween, guys.
Happy Halloween. Yeah, maybe Trump is just a Nazi for Halloween. Maybe they're just calling him a Halloween Nazi, not a real Nazi.
Yeah, he did the garbage truck stunt so late yesterday. There's going to be a rush of orders for that reflective vest today so people can go as that tonight.
8:50 now, Dan and Dalton and Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5.
And Kane, hate to put this out there, Kane may be missing the biggest traffic news of the morning.
What's that?
Damn Yankee texting in and says, I just saw Batman riding a motorcycle on Cottage Hill.
Ooh.
And if you forget, like I did when I read this text, that it's Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably wondering why Batman's riding a motorcycle in Cottage Hill, Cottage Hill.
First of all, you're delighted that Batman is alive and well, and he's here in our Gotham City, Mobile,
yeah.
that he's here to defend the people.
That's great to hear.
Yeah.
You know, so feel a little safer today. Batman, at least one Batman is in town.
In the area of Cottage Hill.
In the area of Cottage Hill right now. This segment brought to you by our good friends at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett and his crew have been making junk disappear for over 16 years. All you have to do is point, and they are so efficient and respectful while they're out there on your property, whether it's your business or your residence, maybe you have rental homes, junk, wherever it may be, they can take care of that problem. They'll be in and out in no time, and you can get on with your day. Plus, when you call and set up that appointment at 1-800-GOT-JUNK, you get free on-site estimates with all-inclusive pricing and no hidden fees. Over 300 five-star Google reviews for 1-800-GOT-JUNK. This one left by Beth just recently says, great price, quick service, and friendly. I would definitely recommend. And we say the same thing here at FM Talk 106.5 when it comes to 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They offer same-day service and are already on their way. So call them today and set up that appointment. 1-800-GOT-JUNK is the phone number. You can do it just as easily online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
I guess we'll start at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night with
yes. So
election coverage.
Election night coverage from right here at FM Talk 106.5. We will be on Facebook only at 7 o'clock. And then 8 o'clock, we'll make the big move up here to the main studio and continue on Facebook,
okay.
but also on air at 8 o'clock Tuesday night. Dan, Sean, myself, we'll get Jeff on, Jeff Poore, of course, and probably some other guests. So you can stay tuned to us Tuesday night as the results roll in. We'll have those AL2 results and also the amendments that are on the ballot for the state. We'll get all those in as quickly as possible. Whether or not we know who president is, by the time we wrap up and sign off on Tuesday night, I have my doubts, but mm-hmm. we'll be there with you through most of it that night.
We've been there before,
mm-hmm.
and so the doubts are understood.
Yeah, totally understood. Looking at the Jeff Poore Show on the way, Caroline Dobson joins him in hour number one, just days out from her election. April Marie Fogle joins Jeff in hour number two, and then Bradley J with Breitbart News in the 3 o'clock hour with Jeff Poore.
See, at St. Paul's tomorrow night, by the way, that is going to be the final UTV 44 Friday Night Rivals game of the week. St. Paul's against Spanish Fort, rivals in 6A. That's going to be a really good game, I would guess. And don't forget that the Jags are home this weekend. They've got a game at 6:30 at the Plainwell.
Yes.
6:30 on Saturday night, and that's against Georgia Southern. So the Jags are home this weekend.
Yeah, and South's still in the mix to maybe be a conference contender by the end of the year. They might be battling it out for that Sun Belt title if they keep winning. So yep. It'll be interesting to see that.
They're pretty good.
Good luck to everyone for Halloween tonight. If you're taking the kids or the grandkids out, maybe I'll save my good lucks for those of you that are grown and going out trick-or-treating without children, but that's okay. That's your thing. This text, Haywood wants to know, which iteration of Batman was it riding the motorcycle in Cottage Hill?
Good question.
That's a good, yeah, I need an answer from Damn Yankee. I don't know if it was the, you know, we're going more of a new age Ben Affleck kind of Batman, uh-huh. Robert Pattinson, or Christian Bale was a favorite of so many,
mm-hmm.
or do you go back even further to some of the classics from before? So
how about if it was simply Christian Bale himself?
It could be.
He's kind of a different dude. Maybe
he might be on Cottage Hill as we speak.
Yeah.
Wow. Have to get out there and say what's up.
Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. And tomorrow, don't forget, we'll have Paul Feinbaum on in the 8 o'clock hour. Football Fridays with Feinbaum every Friday morning for the next few on FM Talk 106.5. Jeff Poore Show is next.